Amen, amen, amen. Look at that. We are a friendly church. That's good. That's right. We are a friendly and a loving church. This is good. Who is excited to give to the Lord today? Woo! Yeah! I know I am. I'm excited to give to the Lord today. While everyone's getting to their seat, let me tell you a little story. Right now, in my parenting stage is changing, right? Because Breck is turning, he just turned 5, and Stevie has just turned 3. So I'm going from caregiver, right? You know, diaper changer, make sure they're fed, and say, hey, don't fall down the steps, right? I'm going from caregiver into a life coach. And in that new phase, we're trying to teach our kids obedience. And yeah, obedience is hard. So what we did was we split obedience up into 3 simple things, right, that a 5-year-old can understand. Obedience means listening completely. Obedience means doing it right away. And obedience means you listen with a smile. And whenever Clinton asked me to do the giving talk, I'm like, well, the funny thing is, God asked the same thing out of us, right? Giving in obedience means listening completely. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe as an act of trusting God. So a couple years ago, my wife and I, we sold a house in West Virginia where we used to live, and we had, you know, it had some equity in it. So that check came in, right? And we got together, I got with my lovely helper, and we decided, well, we were called to give a portion of that to the church, right? And once we made that decision, guess what came? The attack, right? The attack from the enemy came. He starts whispering stuff in my head because I'm the head of the house, right? He didn't come after my wife. He knows I make those decisions. So he starts whispering stuff to me. What about that deck at the back of your house that's falling apart? What about that garage you're going to build? I can go toward that. What if you lose your job? The coal mines just glow. What if you lose your job, right? He starts whispering. And all those have a little bit of truth in them, right? Because that's how the enemy works. He laces in lies and little truths. And I knew those attacks were coming, and luckily Lakin did too, because that morning, that Sunday came, and my lovely helper, filled with the Spirit, said, hey, don't forget to write that check, right? And we gave that day, and I look back, and I'm like, my heart needed to trust the Lord more than we needed that money. I needed that obedience more than we needed that money. Does that make sense? So when the Lord tells you to give something, you listen completely. And I was just trying to relate. I know the enemy will whisper stuff in your ear. I've had it, right? He will attack you on that. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not only hearers, deceiving yourselves, right? If you hear the word and you don't do it, you're just deceiving yourself. Giving in obedience means doing it right away or doing it quickly. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits, right? Not the leftovers, not the let's pay everything off and get Chick-fil-A and then let's see what's left over to give to God, right? We honor the Lord with our first fruits. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Giving obedience means giving with a smile. And I know this one can be the hardest one. Be the hardest one for my kids, especially Stevie. where you say, hey, go clean your room. And she's like, I don't want to clean my room. You're like, well, that's not obedience, right? You know, that's not obedience if you're not, because she needs to trust me. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to instill into my kids that that, hey, if you become obedient to us as parents, as your father, when you're adult, you'll become obedient to the Heavenly Father, right? We got to start that as a young age. So I'm trying to show her that, like, hey, you have to trust me enough that when I tell you to do something, you do it with a smile, right? That's where our heart posture comes in. Each one, this is 2 Corinthians, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, right? So everything's God's. I'm trying to change your heart, trying to change how you think, right? Everything is God's. Everything good that comes out of me is from God. Don't thank me, thank God, right? Everything I have is from God. If I give you something that's not from me, it's from God. Does that make sense? So whenever we give back to the church, back to God, right? It's his church. Whenever we give back to that, you're not losing anything because everything's God's, right? You're just giving back a small portion of what he's entrusted you with. So we're going to get ready to give. We have the text to give up there. But before we give, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you have blessed us with, God. Thank you for using your house, God, for your work, for your kingdom house, for your kingdom work, God. Thank you for using me, everything in me, God, that is good. It comes from you, God. I ask that you bless your people as they test you in this. Like the word says, as they test you in this, give them favor and may the blessings fall upon them, God. And I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, there's a couple ways to give. They're going to pass the buckets. You guys go ahead and start passing the buckets. You can also scan that QR code, give online, or we have text to give, 844-935-2940. You could text give, space the amount, space general, or BLDG, and that is for the building fund, because I also have faith that the Lord is going to provide us with more room to save more souls, to give more people to the Word of God and to His goodness. Sorry.
Amen. Come on, can you give it up for Brian Denny doing a great job? I think we just keep stealing each other's coffee, Brian, so it's mine now. How y'all doing this morning? Are you glad to be in the house of God? Somebody shout amen. Amen. Do you appreciate all of our leaders in this house, our board of elders and deacons, and just everybody who leads so well? We're very thankful. I'm ready to preach the word this morning. How many of you are ready to break open the word of life together as a family? How many of you know the best is yet to come? Man, y'all look good this morning. Somebody shout amen. My name is Pastor Clinton. I'm glad you're here today. If this is your first time, I want to say thank you for being with us. There's a connection card in the seat back in front of you, and you can fill that out. Just let us know your information. What I like to do is simply follow up, send you an email, answer any questions you have. Our prayer team is readily available for you as well, too. If you'd like to put a prayer request in the comment section of the connection card, you can also submit that via the website. Bryant mentioned the QR code to give. That's the QR code to our website, so you can go on there if you want to submit a prayer request and find out about different ministries of the church. We're consistently updating that website as the church continues to grow. How many of you know it looks a lot different than it did a year and a half or 2 years ago? Amen? So things are continuing to change, and God has been so good to us. I will hit the announcements at the very end today. I'm going to ask my father, Pastor Eddie, at the end to come and pray a blessing. How many of you were here last Sunday and we blessed all of our kids? Wasn't that amazing seeing all of our kids and youth come through the prayer line and be able to pray for them as they go back? A lot of them go back to school this week, some next week, and maybe even later than that too. Maybe you've already started back. So we went ahead and prayed for all of our kids and our youth and blessed them. And so last Sunday was incredible. And before that, the back to school blessing was awesome as well. So I'm going to ask at the end of the service for Pastor Eddie. He'll have the mic to come say one final blessing and prayer for everyone as we go back to school. And how many of you know there's power in the blessing? Somebody say amen. And the blessing. And I appreciate the fathers in this house. I appreciate and the mothers in this house. And come on, one more time. Can we give it up for Bryant? The Lord's raising him up. Somebody say amen. Great job. Let's go. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We've been in this series called The Mission of the Church. The Mission of the Church. And this is part 3 today. What that entails essentially is the fact that we have been looking at the fact that what the church was commissioned to do from the very start in the Bible. And when Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, what all does that entail and what does that mean? And what is the church supposed to be doing? You know, something that sparked this was a lot of times you'll see commentary online from people about what the church should be doing and what they should be achieving and going for and succeeding. And I just kind of want to give you an accurate frame of mind and picture of what the Bible says the purpose and the activity of the church should be. Somebody say amen. And so we opened up the first week. We talked about the purpose of the, we talked about the mission of the church, part one, and we talked about the origin of the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many of you believe Jesus is building the church? Somebody say amen. How many of you believe the church is not a defeated church? It is a church that is rising, and the bride is becoming more glorious. And how many of you believe America is becoming more churched? Somebody say amen to that. Our city and our region is going to know the Lord Jesus Christ. People are going to come in droves. The harvest is coming. The harvest is plentiful. And it is our job that we be laborers in the harvest. If you are a Christian and a believer, you're a laborer in the harvest. Somebody say amen. You have a mandate on your life. You say, what is my purpose, Pastor? I don't know what my purpose and my calling is. Bible says your gift and your call will make room for you. If you magnify Jesus, lift him up and exalt him, then you will walk into your calling. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so when you begin to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your gifting and calling makes room. You'll step into it. Rather than striving to get to where you need to be or where you think you should be, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's like Bryant was mentioning with obedience. Trust in Jesus with all your heart. And when you do that, God will illuminate your path. And along those lines, we're going to preach today about being devoted to the teaching of the Word of God. How many of you know the Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? The word is powerful because it illuminates to us. Sometimes I think we're searching and praying and asking God for something he's already written to us in the holy word. Somebody say amen. And we need to open up our Bible so that we can see. So we talked about week one, the origin of the church, that Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then he said, I promise you though, when I ascend to heaven, I will give you the power and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And when he ascended to heaven, how many of you know he told the disciples, he said, wait and tarry here until you receive power from on high, until you are clothed in power. How many of you know the church of Jesus Christ should be so on fire for God that we are literally clothed in the power of God? I believe that when you walk into a church environment, that it should be a place, family, where you see people that are not just flying by the seat of their pants, just life is just going as it should. Well, maybe we'll make it here, maybe we'll make it there. But no, we are walking evidently in the power of Jesus every day, so much so that we are clothed in power. Clothed in power. And Jesus promises that to us when he said, when I'll ascend, I'll send you from the Father the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will clothe you with power. Now, here's the other part. He did promise that, and he followed through. Somebody shout amen. The birth of the church comes in Acts chapter 2. They were gathered together, one mind, one accord in the upper room, and they waited to receive. They tarried until they received that power. And when they received that power, it came upon them. The Bible says it was like cloven tongues of fire that sat upon their head. And they walked out and they spilled out into the streets, speaking in languages that they did not know naturally in their own mind. And how many of you know that people looked at them and thought, what is going on? This does not look like what we thought it would look like. But how many of you know when Jesus comes, he'll use the foolish things to confound the wise? Somebody say amen. That means if you're here today and you feel like I'm not even qualified, I feel like if I sit in this seat, something bad's going to happen to me because I walked into church today and I just don't even feel qualified to be in church. God will use the foolish thing, somebody say amen, to confound the wise. If you've come in here broken or hurting, you're a perfect candidate for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Because it was only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we have been saved. It was only by the blood of Jesus Christ that I was saved. Somebody say amen. That you were saved. Let's just give God some praise. Take 10 seconds and praise him. If you have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You say he's passionate. Well, week two, we talked about fervor and passion. We talked about what it meant that when you serve God. We read from Wednesday night was beautiful. We read from Haggai 1. We talked about how we should not neglect the house of the Lord. While we build our own kingdoms, God's saying, I want you to be more concerned with building my kingdom. He said, why should your houses thrive, but my house sit in rubble? It's all about the order, family. If you choose to put God first in all things, he will pour out his blessing upon your life, and he will always take care of you. Can anybody testify? Can anybody testify that Jesus has always taken care of you? In your darkest moment, in your lowest moment, in your saddest moment, you might have come in here today in your most broken moment. But how many of you can testify that Jesus has always taken care of me? Hallelujah. So he promised to build the church. He sent his spirit. And you say, Clinton, this is elementary. I've heard this my whole life. This is important, family, because many people have drifted away from this gospel foundational teaching of where the church started and where the church is going. What's the mission of the church? Don't get your information on what the church should be doing from Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. Somebody say amen. Get your information for what the church is actually supposed to look like from the Bible. Read the book of Acts and see what the birth of the church was like and what the church is supposed to be doing. Can I preach for a minute? If you read the book of Acts, I wonder sometimes if we would actually move towards, not this church, but the capital C church in general, move towards what the actual church looked like in the book of Acts, we might be called crazy now. Amen. Come on, somebody. Just like they were when they spilled out into the streets. But we should not be afraid to follow the model of what Jesus laid out in the book of Acts. Because what happened is people got healed. Somebody say amen. Widows got fed. Somebody shout back to me if you believe it. People were saved, healed, and delivered. The church was added to day by day. Every day, people had real fellowship. They broke bread together. They said the prayers together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And day by day, the Bible says God added unto his church. How many of you know this church is not going down in Jesus' name? This church is going up in Jesus' name because we're following the biblical model of what it means to have a church centered on Jesus Christ. How many of you believe it? How many of you want to have a church that actually believes and has faith in Jesus, where it's not just to make you feel good and say that you came to church for an hour and you feel better about yourself, but when you come, something begins to stir on the inside of you, that the birth of the church has an effect on the inside of you, that said when cloven tongues of fire rested upon them, I want that same fire. Somebody say amen. I want that same passion. I want that same zeal. If you read the book of Acts, it was miraculous. The church was birthed, and not only was it birthed, it was propelled. People traveled the world preaching the gospel. They were a go and tell people. They did not keep it to themselves. They went and asked people, have ye received the Holy Ghost? They went and asked them those questions.
Listen, family, the time is too short and the time is too near for us to not tell people, our neighbors, our community, and our city that Jesus belongs in our city, in our region. Somebody say amen. That Jesus belongs in their hearts, that there's a God who loves them, that it is by his blood that they are saved. How many of you want to see that? You know, I've been dealing with this lately. We see a lot of people with opinions, and those are all great, and reflections on how do we change a city? How do we change a region? I'll tell you how you change it. You invite the presence of Jesus to come sit on the throne of your heart and your family and your city. Somebody say amen. There are plenty of people. You said there's a lot of churches in Owensboro. Drive down the road, you'll see somebody that needs Jesus. Drop down your street, you'll see somebody that needs Jesus. When's the last time you talked to your neighbor and shared that generous love with them that Jesus loves them and he has a plan for their life and he wants to change their life and come to meet Jesus and everything will change? Share it with your neighbor. Shout it from the housetop. This is in my notes, but I feel good. Shout it from the housetop. Somebody say amen. Shout it from the rooftop that Jesus saved me. Jesus healed me. Why keep it to ourselves? Why keep this glorious gospel to ourselves? I was reading this morning, the woman at the well, when Jesus told her, Jesus told her who he was. He said, I'm the Messiah. And what did she do? She ran into the town, family. And she began to tell everybody, said, look at this man. Come see this man who told me everything about myself. That's what we should do, family. Have a fervor, a passion, a zeal to serve God with glad and generous hearts. In Acts chapter 2, that was week 2, it talked about they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And we talked about how this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Laughter is like good medicine. Somebody say amen. Come to church. Y'all look good this morning. Come to church with a smile on your face. Somebody say amen. Share some joy. And I feel this prophetically for somebody before I move on, because I'm going to get to this. I promise you I'm going to get to this word. There's somebody in this room today, and you feel completely depressed, and you feel completely defeated. And maybe something's going on in your family today. I'm here to tell you today, the Lord is sending angels to lift up your head today so that you are no longer depressed. Somebody say amen. Things are beginning to turn around in your life. Depression is not your portion. Somebody say amen. Oppression is not your portion. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. And you've got the joy of the Lord deep down in your heart. I could pick you out right now, and the Lord does it in Jesus' mighty name. Give God praise if you believe it. Hallelujah. So if we look at the Bible, the fivefold ministry of pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles, and teachers, the Word gives us a blueprint of what they're supposed to do. They are supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Somebody say amen. So we have to get out of our mindset and our thinking that the work of telling about Jesus and ministering to others through whatever gift you've been given, through whatever ability, it could be administration. It could be helps. The Bible lists these different gifts. It could be these different things. It is not confined to a pulpit. Somebody say amen to that. The work of my job is to come here and yell and scream and get sweaty every Sunday so that you can be equipped. Somebody say amen. You say, well, I like calm preaching. Sorry. Probably wouldn't be as good if I tried to be calm. So I'm going to be myself. Somebody say amen. I'm going to be who God's created me to be. Because somebody needs the gift in the inside of you. Somebody say amen. So I'm equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Everything we do in this church, when we pray, when we practice, when we do events, when we do men's and women's nights, it is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And we put this, and rightfully so, there should be honor there. But we have put so much aura around certain types of ministry that we just sometimes refuse to understand that we ourselves are called to be ambassadors for Christ. and ministers of reconciliation. If you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, you have a ministry. Somebody say amen. Perform that work of the ministry. Come to church with zeal. Hallelujah. Come to church with passion. Come and lift up your hands. Ask the Lord to change your life today. Man, if I got up out of the bed and came today and threw my CPAP machine off because I was in a deep, glorious sleep last night, and I came to worship Jesus, why would I come and just, well, here he goes again, preaching about that again. Why'd you get up? Come on. Why'd you get up? Because I came, because today is the day the Lord has made. Somebody say amen. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day that your life could change forever. Today is the day that your marriage gets back on track. Somebody say amen. Today is the day that God does a work in your heart and your sins are forgiven. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Somebody shout today if you believe it. Every day, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Every breath. Life's too short to be him hauling around and defeated. No, confess the word of God. Somebody say amen. Confess it. The church was born not weak and defeated. It grew. It was sparked by a fire that was lit that continued to expand and to grow. Today is the day where that will continue to happen. And I believe it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So you say, Pastor, I'm just here at church today because I got to get my marriage fixed. And I got to get my finances fixed. And I just need some life coaching. The problem is that if we as a church begin to say, well, the church needs to have this ministry and this program, and we don't do that here. I'm warding it off and to help to encourage the larger body of Christ today. If we continue to say, well, we need this program and this ministry, and they're not doing that, and they're not doing this effectively, we are treating a symptom rather than the root. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? See, for me, I needed healing, Jimmy. But the day I got healed, I'm not saying we don't pray directly for healing, but the day I got healed was the same day I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was seeking Jesus, and then I got healed. You see, if we don't address the root problem, somebody say amen, then we are sorely mistaken. You say, well, I need help with my finances and my marriage and my children, and I need help just learning how to walk like a Christian. Start with the root and the origin of what it means to be a Christian and a part of the body of believers, and watch the blessing of God come upon your life, and he begins to speak to you directly about what you need when you put him first. So you say, Clinton, why do you preach the same topic from time to time about making it all about Jesus? Because I understand that if we make it about Jesus, that in him, there is every bit of life that we need. Can I preach for a moment? The message of Jesus will never grow old. You could hear a million sermons about Jesus, and there still would be a million more. You know what we need to fix our lives? Jesus. Somebody say amen. You know what we need to fix our city and our marriages and our homes and the fighting and the bickering we got going on? Jesus. Somebody say amen. You know what we need to get our finances in order? Jesus. Somebody say amen. And if Jesus builds his church, which he will, then the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, I need a topical sermon, and I need this, and that. I want 3 points. Okay, that is all good, but you've got to treat the root symptom, which is how is my relationship with Jesus? I will treat my spouse a lot better. I planned a little Friday night getaway with my wife. It was wonderful. Thanks to my parents for watching the kids. But that doesn't come by me just trying to be a better spouse. It comes from having a relationship with Christ. Amen. You hear what I'm saying today? Spiritual ears. You say, well, me coming on Sunday and Wednesday doesn't have a major impact. Yes, it does. Because if you put Jesus first, all those things flow from your relationship with Christ. That's how the church was born. It was not born with a million programs, although programs are good. It was not born with all these different things. It was born with Holy Ghost-filled people. Somebody say amen. Waiting and tarrying for the power of God to come upon them. And from that relationship, the Bible says they ate, they broke bread together, they prayed together, they loved the apostles' teaching, they had all things in common with one another. From that flowed everything that they needed so that the church could be added to day by day. I'd say if the Bible says the church was added to day by day, it's a good plan to follow. Somebody say amen. So, hallelujah, how much time I got? All right. So let's look at Acts 2. Let's look at Acts 2, 42 through 47. So today, and through this series, we're attacking the root cause, not the symptom. And you'll start to see that those symptoms subside when you make it about Jesus. Look at this, Acts 2. And they devoted themselves. Let's all read this together because I think it's our anchor text for the series. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions. Oh, I don't like that one, Pastor. Let's read it boldly. And they were selling their possessions. Some of y'all gonna get a knock on the door of your heart today. And belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And okay, let's read some more. Y'all ready? Come on. And day by day. Pause. Right here. I'm gonna call it a 4-week challenge. Y'all ready for it? Come to church 4 weeks in a row. Somebody say amen. And watch God change your life. Can I get all my 4-weekers to shout unto God? Hallelujah. I'm having so much fun today. Well, I got this and I got that, and we go into this and that. 4 weeks and watch God change your life. Somebody say amen. Let's read it together. That's a lot less than day by day. We might as well start the day by day, Jimmy and Austin. And day by day, attending the temple together. Okay, I feel something stirring in me. 4 weeks, somebody say amen. Yeah. Let's do the 4-week challenge, y'all ready? Yeah. 4 weeks in August, let's do it. Everybody here, everybody praising, everybody having passion, everybody having zeal, everybody seeking the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody, and watch something explode in this church like you've never seen before. Hallelujah. And day, I'm not guilting you. Don't say I'm guilting you and condemning you. Please hear me. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. Here it is. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. 47, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Come on, somebody. Woo. I don't even have to preach that. I just shout it and read it. And day by day, they were added to their number those who were being saved. How many of you want to see your neighbors saved? Your family members saved? It's right there, family. Come on, I want to see a whole city change. Come on, somebody. I want to see walls come down, doors open up, people flooding. If we got to put speakers outside on the outside of the building, somebody say amen. Let's do it. Somebody say amen. And the building team is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Y'all think I'm crazy, but that's how passionate I am about the gospel transforming people's lives. So there's the blueprint. Day by day, make a commitment. Make a commitment. Somebody say commitment. Day by day. Some of y'all smiling like he is preaching to me. Look at your neighbor, say, Pastor loves me. Amen. Well, hey, hubby, we're going to miss this Sunday and that Wednesday, and it'll be all right. Pastor won't text us that week. I am having so much fun today. Somebody say amen. But it's not about attendance as much as it is about getting in the presence and following the model of the early church. Somebody say amen. It's not about, you can come to church and sit in a pew and warm the pew and have the nastiest attitude, and some people wish you were gone. Somebody say amen. It's about coming to the house day by day, look, seeking God, doing it with a glad and generous heart. And when you do that, watch God transform your life. Now, verse 42, I'll get off that because y'all just nervous now. Everybody getting antsy. And they devoted themselves. This is where I want to hone in today. How many of you love the Word of God? You love the Word of God. Man, I found no greater joy than preaching and ministering the Word of God. Opening up the Word. And they, let's, verse 42, let's read it together. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Devote yourself to the Word. Devote yourself to the Bible. Here's another thing. You say, I want him to stop talking about attendance. Well, I'll talk about your Bible then. Somebody say amen. Because you got one of them at home. On the table. How many of you remember having those big Bibles on your coffee tables back at home? I remember we had the most beautiful big Bible table. Well, I got to be careful. Bible on our table in the middle of our house, big, glorious Bible. We didn't open that one much, but we sure knew how to open the other Bible that we had. Somebody say amen. That's something you have with you at your house. Open your Bible every day. Say, I can't hear from God. Open your Bible. Amen. You devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching. That I even interpret that too as devote yourself to the scriptures. When you devote yourself to the scriptures and teaching of sound doctrine, it is very valuable for you, family. Actually, those who teach, the Bible said, those who teach, we honor those who teach in this house because they're worthy of double honor. That's what your Bible says. So devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. Devote yourself to the Word of God. How many of you love to read your Bible every day? Amen. See, telling people to read their word every day is not reserved to people who just came to an altar and just got saved. It is to the Christian of 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Somebody say amen. The word never grows old. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the very deepest parts of your heart. If you wonder why your attitude needs an adjustment or something needs to be adjusted within you, have you been opening your Bible? Somebody say amen. Have you been opening the Word of God? It is Jesus. I feel Holy Ghost right now. It is Jesus on paper for you. You know, my dad went to India years ago, and he told me, he said, Clinton, I went to these massive temples, and they were Sikh temples. And these temples, obviously, they're serving a false god. And he said, I went to these temples, and something extraordinary about it, what though, because he was ministering and preaching throughout India with a friend of ours. And he said, what was amazing is these Sikh people in the middle of the day would be outside along the walls, and Dad can correct me if I'm wrong, but with their whatever book they follow, and like this, reading, quoting these from their text that they would follow, and reading them over and over and over again. And I thought in my mind as a high schooler, middle schooler, I thought, what a travesty that they're spending all this time in a word that produces nothing. But we struggle sometimes in the American church to get people to pray 5 minutes. Come on, somebody. And this, please hear me. I'm going to get very encouraging at the end of this message, so I'm not like negative all the time, all right? So it's going to be very uplifting. Everybody's going to smile with glad and generous hearts and leave and go eat chicken, cheese, and rice, all right? But right now, seriously, your word is living and active. Everything would be enhanced in your life if you come to men's and women's nights, already read the text. If you come to church, you read your Bible on the way to church. And so many people would at this temple would sit around and incantate and do all these prayers, and it was producing nothing. But out of habit and commitment, they continued to do it, even though it didn't produce anything. you ask anybody from another religion, they're just like, well, if it's Allah's will or whoever's will, then it works out. But y'all, we have a prayer life in our Bible, somebody say amen, then we can obtain where if we go boldly before the Father, somebody say amen, and we pray and we ask God, the Bible says you have what you ask for. That means if you pray for somebody and you believe in the power of healing for Jesus to heal, man, we have healing in our hands, somebody say amen. Why would we neglect the activity and the action of our faith when so many other people, they're out of just ritual and habit? But this is not some ritualistic faith. Somebody say amen. This is a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered, word-centered, Jesus all-in-all church and believers. Somebody say amen. Where when we pray and we cry out to God and we confess his word, he hears it. And he honors his word. So when is the last time you woke up and you thought, well, I'm going to scroll. No, open the scroll. Somebody say amen. And read your Bible. Somebody say amen. Woo, there's an app on your phone too. It's nice and easy. Open your Bible and read it. We're just going to have all kinds of challenges this weekend, so we're going to do the four-week Bible challenge now. And if you're asking me to track all this, I'm not. All right? It's between you and the Lord. Between you and the Lord Jesus. So, four times? Come on. Four times in a week. Four times in a week. Four times in a month. Somebody say amen. Come to church. Every day this week, read your Bible. Somebody say amen. Open your Bible up. Read the word of God. Let it come to life on the inside of you. Somebody say amen. Read those scriptures. Devote yourself to the teaching in the Holy Scriptures. I'm just going to keep going. Pentecostals and charismatics, we love the word too. Somebody say amen. We love the Bible. You got the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit in you. Somebody say amen. Open your Bible. Let the Holy Spirit illuminate the word to you. You know, in 1 Peter 3:15, it says that you should always be able to give a defense for the hope that is in within you. I learned that in Sunday school, Seabreek, Kentucky. That word was imprinted upon my heart. You should always be able to give a defense for the hope that is within you with gentleness and respect. That's what the ESV says. So if someone says, why are you so passionate? Why are you so glad? Why are you so generous? Why? Make sure that you are always readily available to give a defense for the hope that is in you with gentleness and respect. You know what this is called? It's called equipping. That means when people see you on your job and they say, why are you so happy today? And you say, because I have a hope that is on the inside of me. Somebody say amen. I have a belief. I have a faith. God is with me. He's for me. He's never failed me. He saved me from my sins. You don't have to say anything elaborate. I'm just glad my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, somebody. So Pentecostals, charismatics, whatever you want to, we're non-denominational, whatever you want to coin yourself, a Christian, a believer, hopefully, we love the word. Amen. Give a defense for why. Do you know when, talking about teaching and loving the word, when Jesus ascended to heaven, what did he say in Matthew 28:19? He said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded you to do. So see, there's an element of where you have to, according to the New Testament church, devote yourself to the teaching of the word. When Jesus ascended, he told him, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, teaching them all that I've commanded you to do. We have a high regard for the teaching of the word. John 17:20. Let's throw that one up there, Brian. John 17:20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Through their word. Somebody say their word. See, John 17 is the high priestly prayer. It's Jesus praying for his disciples before he goes to the cross. He prays these beautiful prayer in John 17. He's telling them basically, make them one as the Father and I are one. Talking to make the disciples one. What he also tells them, though, in John 17:20 is, He's not only praying for the disciples, but everyone that will hear about him through their word. Did you catch that? He's praying for the disciples, not only that they would be one and that they would stand firm in their faith, because he knows he's about to go to the cross, but he's telling them, he's praying to the Father, I don't ask for just them, but I ask, Lord, for everyone that will hear the gospel through their word. So we as a family, as a church, we should pray and devote ourselves to the scriptures so that we can convey accurately and powerfully and with an anointed power the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people will hear and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through our words. How do you know, Pastor? The Bible says, how will they hear if they don't have a preacher? How will they hear if they don't have somebody to tell them? Beautiful are the feet of those who go and proclaim the good news of the gospel. That's what your Bible says. Go and make disciples. So more specifically, if we look at the church, the mission, that's what I've been preaching on, of the church, what is one of the missions of the church? A devotion to scripture, a devotion to the Bible. Receive the word eagerly. We're really good at that, family. Y'all are great to preach to. Y'all are good to preach to. Receive the, give yourself a hand. You're good to preach to. Three people gave themselves a hand. Y'all are humble. Say, I'm humble. Receive the word eagerly. All right, we're going to rapid fire some scriptures. Acts 17, 10 through 12. Look at this. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now see, in this chapter, if you read all the way up to earlier, Acts 17, Paul is opening the scriptures. He's reasoning with them on the scriptures. So he looks, look what he finds in verse 10. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those at Thessalonica. They received the word, look at this, with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. How, Pastor, do I devote myself to the apostles' teaching? You do it with all eagerness. You realize that the word and the scripture is your next meal. You need to consume, digest the word of God. Receive it with all eagerness. And examine the scriptures. Study the scriptures, right? That's what's important. Sundays and Wednesdays are important, but reading your Bible throughout the week and devoting yourself to that is essential to the church. Somebody say amen to that. It's essential. A church, I believe, will grow more rapidly, be full of more power, be more grounded and rooted and stable if everyone in the body is consuming the scriptures at the same time. Because you get the diet that you need. Somebody say amen. Every day, the daily bread that you need. If you're out working and you missed it that day and you're allowed to wear AirPods, at least listen to one chapter. It'll change your life, family. Consume the word of God with all eagerness. How many of you can testify that when you've stood on the word of God and the promises of the word, it has transformed your life because you stopped believing lies? Come on, somebody. You stopped believing falsehoods. You stopped listening to whispers of the devil. How many times, this is what a lot of pastors do and are consumed with. They're dealing with people that have been whispered lies to from the devil. And how do you combat the lies? With the truth of God's word. Somebody say amen. With a daily diet and a daily consumption of his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sorry, live stream, I feel like walking around today.
Come on.
We need a daily diet of the word of God. Somebody say amen. I know this ain't shouting, but I'm going to preach it till we do shout. We need daily consumption of the word of God. How many of you want to know the truth? If you abide in his truth, you'll abide in his word. And the truth will set you free. You'll stop believing lies that you see on Facebook and TikTok and getting in fights that you were never meant to get in because they don't even align with what you're supposed to be believing anyway. Receive it with eagerness. I can't wait to get to the church because I'm going to open up the word. It's going to change my life. It's going to change my life. Come on, put your hand on your heart. Jesus, say it to you. Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life through your word. In Jesus' mighty name. See, some of you, you say, I need help parenting. You need help getting in the word to tell your kids what the word says so you can be a better parent. Somebody say amen. Yeah. The best parenting advice, I believe, is from scripture. Somebody say amen. The best way to be a husband and a wife is to read scripture. With eagerness. Read the word. Eagerly. With glad and generous hearts. Paul reasoned with them in Acts 17. Let's go to verse 12. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. The word works for men, for women. Somebody say amen. For children, for the oldest generation, for the youngest generation, for every generation in between. If you will open up the word, you will begin to even believe more. Don't let people lie to you and say, well, the Bible contradicts itself, and the Bible says this and that, and they'll nitpick something out, Leviticus chapter 11, and they hadn't picked up a Bible in 3 years, and we go to believing and wondering, we get all down and think, does my Bible contradict itself? Come on, y'all. We got to be ready to give a defense. How many of you have seen them people? Well, your Bible says in the Leviticus 11, and yeah, you use ChatGPT, and you just looked that up, and you hadn't opened the Bible in forever. That's what we can tell them. I'm going to say it again because I maybe said it too fast. People get on there. Well, your Bible, your belief says this. Leviticus 11 says blah, blah, blah. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. And I'm like, I want to be like, but my flesh, I die. Somebody say amen to my flesh. I want to be like, yeah, you just entered that on ChatGPT because you heard somebody else say it, and you haven't opened a Bible in 10 years, and you're trying to use that as weaponry against us. But not for the Holy Ghost-filled believer, somebody say amen, who knows the word, who knows the truth, that all the word speaks of Jesus, somebody say amen, that all of it ties together, it's all perfectly written, inspired by God, God breathed, somebody say amen, for reproof, for correction, for exhortation, the word works. Somebody say amen. From the youngest to the oldest, the word works. Stand on the word of God. Somebody say amen if you believe it. Don't let anybody nitpick you. Say, I believe in the Jesus that set me free, that delivered me. I've seen the word at work in my own life. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. And I'm not coming off them in Jesus' mighty name. Take 10 seconds and praise him in this house if you believe it. How much would your life change if you read your Bible every day? How much would your life change if you devoted yourself to the apostles' teaching? How much would your life change? It's a devotion to Scripture. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Before anything, when the dew is on the ground, open the Bible, family, and begin to read the word, and it comes alive in you. I want to challenge you daily. You need fresh bread every morning. We got a lot of amazing business people in this house, people that own restaurants and cafes and coffee shops and, you know, local places. And I began to think about this. I began to think, you know, that type of environment, a lot of that stuff is, have you seen those signs where it says, made fresh daily? Some of y'all go to like a, y'all just rejoice when the Krispy Kreme light comes on at night. Yeah. Man. We used to drive around on vacation and stuff with my parents. Oh, the Krispy Kreme light's on. It's hot. There's something different about that hot donut. Somebody say amen. Ooh, Jesus. I'm about to call a fast, everybody. It's 4 weeks. Well, I might as well. 4 weeks of church, 4 weeks of Bible, and 4 weeks of fasting. Somebody say amen. Woo! Praise God. He said, I ain't ever heard preaching like this. Sorry, get used to it. Somebody say amen. We would drive around, Ashley,
light would come on, hot and fresh. Man, some of these places, like, we got amazing local business in this house, and I know they be making stuff fresh. And you know it makes a difference. Somebody saying, y'all know it makes a difference? Some of us are living on podcasts and sermons, but we ain't receiving fresh bread. Come on, somebody. We ain't receiving them. And we know when we wake up, we're like, man, I feel so terrible today. And we'll turn on a podcast and a sermon. It'll elevate us for about maybe a couple hours. And we got to turn on another one just to get through the day. Because we didn't have fresh bread in the morning. Somebody say amen. Yeah. And I'm not downplaying the word of God because I love to preach it. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think it had an impact. But we've got to get up as a body of Christ family. This church is growing and it's going somewhere. Somebody say amen. And it's going to take believers and leaders that know their Bible. Somebody say amen. And youth, man, your youth, bring them on Wednesdays. And don't just drop them. Come yourself. Somebody say amen. Bring your youth and get them in the word, man. Our leaders dedicate themselves, the stuff I hear in middle school and high school, to teaching the word of God. Get them in the house. Get them devoted to the word. If you know the word, when life comes against you, rather than panicking and worrying and running to other vices, you begin to stand on the word and quote the word. Fear not, for I am with thee. Somebody say amen. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. I think on noble things, pure things, lovely things, things of good report. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Somebody say amen. Healing is the children's bread. I am the God that healeth thee. There's a word for, do you feel that? When you begin to quote the word, not Clinton's words, the word, there's power that is ignited in your spirit because the word works. I'm here to debunk any type of lie that says that Pentecostal, charismatic, Holy Ghost-filled people don't know the word. We know the word. Somebody say amen. We love the word. We devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Man, when life comes at you and the wind and the waves are tossing, quote the word, peace, be still. If Jesus got on the deck of the boat and he looked at the wind and the waves and the winds and the waves obeyed him and he's commissioned you and clothed you with power and you're part of the church of Jesus Christ, rather than rehearsing and worrying, come on, begin to quote the word, peace, be still. Come on, get a prayer language. Shatata. Come on, somebody. Haramama kandaye santaha. Pray in the spirit. Some of y'all scared now. Don't worry. It's all right. Pray in the spirit. Somebody say amen. It's a language that the devil can't understand. Somebody say amen. But the spirit makes intercession for you. Get a hold of the word. Begin to work the word. Somebody say amen. The word is life-giving. Just quote it. Quote it. Speak it. And pray in the Holy Ghost. Consistency is key, though. How do I sustain, Clinton, how do I sustain my intake of the word? How do I devote myself to the apostles' teaching? How do I do that? Let's look at this. Starts with not having itching ears. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, and I'm almost done. Crystal, can you help me? 2 Timothy, listen closely, family. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. We have a value for the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. We value teaching and preaching. Look at this, verse 3. For the time is coming, but far be it from here,
when people will not endure sound teaching. But the apostles in the early church, we'll do read in Acts chapter 2. They loved and were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Here it is. It's a little bit dangerous right here. Because some people think, man, I remember when I was first feeling that burning inside of me to preach. Rather than trying to say, well, I could get up there and do it better or do it like this or that, I felt the Lord speak to me, hang on every word that person is preaching, because you're going to need it to be able to effectively preach the gospel. The Lord was teaching me to devote myself to the teachings of others. So that one day, and I'm still a work in progress, 34, that feels young to me, praise God. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Matt said it is young. Thank you, Matt. I'm still a work in progress, but I understand that I never graduate from being a student and a son of the word. See, you know what the Bible at one point says? It says, you have a bunch of teachers at 1.2. It says, you have a bunch of teachers, which is good, but you don't have many fathers. See, if you want to learn to be a good teacher and devote yourself to the word, you got to learn to be a good son and a good daughter. When you do that, family, listen, you become very teachable. Elisha had Elijah, and he asked for a double portion from him. But man, he followed him so closely. We have to have a value. Not because necessarily that person's title, but because we understand, man, I want to sit under the word of God as a son or a daughter. I think in other parts of the world, they actually understand this a little bit better than we do because culture's a little bit different. But it's coming around here in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Where people understand the importance of fatherhood and sonship and motherhood and daughtership, where they begin to understand there is actually value in learning and gleaning and hanging on every word that someone is sending our way. When I was younger, I would sit in church camps and I would sit in services with my dad preaching. And man, I knew God was churning something on the inside of me. And rather than though trying to jump to the occasion to just, if I was doing then what I'm doing now, I wouldn't have been able to sustain it. But thank God, come on, for if we walk in humility and learn to be sons and daughters, students of the word, God equips you, family, for every phase of life that you need. How many of you want to be good students devoted to the teaching of God's word? Three people. How many of you want to be devoted to the teaching of God's word? Come on. It's not even necessarily from a pulpit. It's from a father and mother. Listen to your father and mother. Come on, children. Honor your father and mother. Listen to them. How do I sustain my intake? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but they have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Sometimes the best teaching you need to hear, family, is teaching you don't necessarily want to hear. But it wards off itching ears. What I've noticed is the further people go down this path, the more easily it is to get offended. Because they turn away from the truth and they wander off into things because they have itching ears. And the further they go down this path, the more offended they get when you preach the truth. But if I love you, come on, somebody, I'm going to abide in his word and I'm going to preach the truth. I can't preach anything else in good conscience. I've got to devote myself to the teaching. I've got to devote myself to fathers and mothers in my life that speak the truth into my life, to listen to them, to hear them. Really quickly, and I'm almost done. 2 Timothy, I'm going to have my dad come and pray. 2 Timothy 1, 13 through 14. Let's look at that one. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Love sound doctrine. Love the Bible. When you adhere to the Bible, listen, guard it. Guard that word that has been entrusted on the inside of you. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, verse 4, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Wow. Let's go back to verse 3 real quick. I know I'm running low on time. Hang with me. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, how to live holy, how to live right, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, verse 5, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. What's he saying? He's saying, love the word. Don't depart from anything else other than Jesus Christ preached. Because if you do, it's a slippery slope, itching ears. And you begin to try to hear things you only want to hear. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. This is my final verse. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. That's how highly valued good teaching should be. Good gospel teaching, if you got it, don't depart from it. Somebody say amen. Man, I've seen this happen. I'm almost done. In churches, and they will go off and something gets off track. The focus becomes not Jesus. And we've had people even come here, and you're doing everything you can to pick up the pieces of people that have been hurt by teaching that has led them astray. But we are not going to do that here. Somebody say amen. We're going to devote ourselves to sound doctrine and sound teaching. We're going to love the word of God because it produces life in us. Look, verse 10. Last one, verse 10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. We have to preach the unadulterated word of God. Somebody say amen. Not to please man, but to please God. And when you do that, it is life-giving. If you receive the word and you receive it daily. This is my final point. Devote yourself to the teaching of the word. Teach and love sound doctrine. Reject anything distorted from Christ and continue to abide in his word. How many of you accept the 4-week challenge? Oh, that's pretty good. I was trying to trick you by saying something else, or getting you to think I was going to say something else. Come on, somebody. Let's devote ourselves to sound teaching. Somebody say amen. Let's devote ourselves to the word of God. Come on, let's lift our hands. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to have my dad come and pray a blessing, and we'll let you go. Make sure you have your kids say. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your power and your presence this morning. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the word of God. We thank you, God, that we have daily bread. Daily bread. Let's pray this. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than two-edged sword. I pray that you wake every one of us up at 4 a.m. this morning and we all begin to read our Bible. In Jesus' mighty name. I pray that you stir. y'all lost now. Come on. I pray that you wake every one of us up before Ahab, and we're all reading our Bible in Jesus' name. Lord, let the word get deep down in our heart. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Lord, let us devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. God, we thank you, Jesus. Let us not follow anything that has deviated from Christ and Christ alone. I have purpose to know nothing except Christ and Christ crucified. God, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Let us receive the word eagerly. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Give Jesus your best praise one more time. Come on now. Hey, I want my dad to say a prayer of blessing. If you could, stretch your hands towards our kids over there. If you got a youth person too with you, stretch your hand toward youth in this room, and I want to let him pray.
Yes, yes, amen. Daniel 1:8 said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And this word of God that he preached today, amen, the word of God, if you purpose yourself into the word of God, it will keep our children, do you hear me today? And it'll keep you, amen, undefiled and walking with God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for our children. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives. And we believe, God, that you have great plans and purposes for them. And Lord, we just declare the word of God over them today. We declare, Lord, that they would purpose within their hearts not to defile themselves with the king's meat, Lord, not to get off track, but Lord, the word that they receive, Lord, let it get deep into their hearts and cause them to be people of God who will serve you and walk in your ways and know you. Lord, we just declare over our children, God, that they will know you and know your spirit and know the leading of your spirit, and that they will be anchored in the word of God. Lord, that when circumstances change and life changes, God, that they would define their direction and their purpose by what the word of God says about them. Lord, we speak these things over them, that as they go to school, and Lord, as they get new friendships, Lord, or continue, Lord, to develop old friendships, that they will be governed and directed by the Holy Spirit. Cause our children to be people of backbone and strength, Lord, not blowing with every wind of doctrine, Lord, not feeling pressured to succumb to the temptations or the pressures of their peers. But Lord, let our children be leaders. We pray, God, that you would direct their path and make their steps sure. Lord, let health be in their body, in their mind, in their spirits. Give them strength of character and every trick that the enemy would try to impose upon them, every trap, Lord, we just declare that it would be null and void. And Lord, let our children be blessed and be honorable. And Lord, be people of power in the name of Jesus Christ. And devil, we declare that you're a liar. And every word that you've spoken over them, or that others who don't know you would speak over them, Lord, we declare that those things would come to nothing. But let every promise of God be yes and amen. We plead the blood of Christ over them. We declare your word over them, and that they are victorious. They will be blessed. They will be those of integrity. And we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Eddie. Kayla, I'm going to pray for you. If I could have some prayer team, Kayla has requested prayer for healing in her body. So Joy, maybe Nikki, some of our prayer team, if you could come. Lauren, if she's in, no, she's in kids, I think. Miss Nancy, Susan, anybody from prayer team that would come. And let's pray for Kayla. We're going to believe for a healing report just right there. I'll greet you at the door. Be blessed. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30. Greet somebody.